Well, before we come to these verses, let me pray once more. Heavenly Father, do help us as we reflect upon the resurrection. Help us this day have a firmer grasp of its truth and its power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I wonder what you think the most important event in the world has ever been. It might be something historical, maybe the end of communism or the collapse of the Berlin Wall. Maybe a big sporting event that you've watched in the past. Of course, it could be something very personal to you. It could be the passing of school exams or getting into the university course you wanted to. It could be getting that first job. It could be something sad that's changed your view of the world, like the loss of a relative. I wonder if you find that whole question of what's the most important event in the world an easy one to answer. I suppose it's actually quite difficult, isn't it, when we think about it. The amount of choice we have is huge. We have so many things to choose from. But for a Christian, there should really be no doubt over what the greatest single event in the world has ever been. It is a claim that Jesus died and then came back to life. Or as Christians often talk about it, the resurrection. This event is so important to Christian people that one of the greatest Christian leaders ever known, the Apostle Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament documents, said in his first letter to Christians in the town of Corinth, he said that if Jesus did not die and come back to life, then we as Christians have a faith that is futile. He says that if Christ had not been raised, then Christians are, of all people, most to be pitied. I wonder if that's something you've ever thought about before. But the reality is that Christians do believe in the resurrection of Jesus, that it really happened, that it is a historical fact. This is what we claim to believe. For those who have studied science at any point, you might call this historical death and resurrection of Christ the litmus test of whether Christianity is true and real. It's the cornerstone of the building. Without it, the building will collapse. It's the key piece of evidence in the case for Christian faith. Without it, the case doesn't have a leg to stand on. So the question is, did Jesus die? Did he come back to life? Or is it just a myth, a hoax propagated by his disciples after the fact? Or is it all just a big mix-up? Is there any reasonable evidence for the resurrection? Is it reasonable to believe that Jesus died and rose again? Well, this is what Mark, I suppose, wants to communicate to us in the verses that we read. He wants to communicate to us, Jesus did rise again. It actually happened. This is true. And if Mark is right, then it does change a lot of things for us. It changes everything, you might say. Well, over the next few minutes, we're going to, as we think about whether or not Jesus rose from the dead, I'm going to discuss three questions with you. Three questions. Firstly, did Jesus die? Secondly, did Jesus get raised from the dead? And then thirdly, if he did, what does it mean for us? Well, firstly, before we deal with those questions, it might be helpful, I suppose, to summarise what Christians believe about Jesus' death. As Christians, we believe that the Bible tells us that Jesus was arrested by the local authorities, was sentenced to death, and was nailed to a cross and crucified. As many of you might know, this is a slow way of dying that the Romans used for the worst criminals. The cause of death would be asphyxiation as the body slowly pressed down, making it harder and harder to breathe. Jesus died and was taken off the cross and put in a tomb. A few days later, his distraught followers discovered that he was no longer dead, but had been raised to new life by God. Jesus was then seen by a number of his followers over a period of time, and then he was returned to heaven, leaving his followers to tell the good news of his death and resurrection to those around him, and ultimately to the world. Now, it could be easy for me to say that this narrative of Jesus' death and resurrection, it makes me feel good, that it's a beautiful story, a heartwarming myth. that it's more of an allegory or a story that teaches me lessons for life, how to live for others, how to be self-sacrificial. To say that, I suppose, would mean that I could avoid all the hard questions. I could just say, well, it's just a story, it just helps. This is a wonderful story that helps me live my life, helps me live a better life. But I don't need to then deal with the hard issues of, did it actually happen? And I suppose that would be quite wrong and disingenuous. For Christians don't believe that it's a myth, that it's just a story. Christians believe that this narrative is historical fact, not fiction, not myth, not a nice fairy story to make me feel better at night as I go to sleep. No, we believe this because the writers of the eyewitness accounts narrate it this way. That's what we see in Mark 16. This is a portrayal of reality. It's miraculous reality, but Mark portrays it as reality. So suppose the questions then get asked, well, what reasons do we have to believe this? And the first question we said we'd look at was, did Jesus really die? Well, we tackle this question, of course, first, because we can't have a resurrection without death. If Jesus was raised from the dead, he first must have died. He first must have been dead. And the main challenge to the Christian belief that Jesus did indeed die on the cross is that Jesus may well have been in a comatose state, some say, that he seemed dead, that he merely swooned rather than dying. And that might make sense, doesn't it? Maybe you think that. I mean, could the people back then, 2,000 years ago, did they really understand how to work out if someone was actually dead? You know, they didn't understand about modern medicine. They didn't understand about maybe breathing and heart rates. They wouldn't have understood all those things. How do they know? How do they know that he was really dead? Could he not have just been comatose? I suppose that might be a reasonable scenario. If someone was injuring themselves and falling into a coma, or someone was so ill that they might appear to be dead. But that's not the situation that we're faced with. The facts we're told are that Jesus was crucified by the Romans. Now, if you know anything about the Romans, you'll be aware that the Romans were good at what they did. They lasted so long because they knew what they were doing. They were not rank amateurs. If they planned to nail you to a cross and let you hang there until you were dead, well, that's what would happen. Often when they were in a bit of a rush, they might break the legs of someone on a cross so they would not be able to push up with their legs, thus dying all the more quickly. But when they went to do this, they noticed that Jesus was already dead. And to make sure, they pierced his side with a spear, and from his side flowed what one of the eyewitness accounts comments as blood and water. Now, there are two medical explanations to this that I'm not going to bore you with, but each of which points to the fact that this was a sign that Jesus was actually dead. So on the basis of the evidence, it seems unlikely that Jesus swooned or passed into a near-death state. It doesn't really make sense. And even if that were the case, and he was not dead, is it reasonable to say that a man who had been so seriously ill, who had gone through the ordeal of crucifixion, could have lain in a tomb for a few days and then got up and convinced hundreds of people over a number of weeks, in fact, that he was completely okay and not hurt at all? Well, I just don't think that seems tenable, do you? The conclusion I think we must come to is that Jesus was put to death, and then it actually happened. He died. It was reality. He was dead. He was in a tomb. Well, if Jesus did die then, we come to our second question. Did Jesus get raised from the dead? Did Jesus get raised from the dead? We've talked about death, something that's, I suppose, that sadly all of us are familiar with, or will be familiar with. Death is, an everyday experience for us. It's an everyday occurrence. We will all die. We know people who have died. Now, of course, what we experience in death in our country, in our life, is not as grotesque as crucifixion. But nonetheless, death happens every day. People die. But coming back to life is a completely different thing, isn't it? This is not something that happens in our normal life experience. It is, in fact, extraordinary. But that is what the Christian believes, that a truly extraordinary thing happened. Jesus came back to life. Indeed, he was brought back to life by God. But of course, not everybody thinks that this is the case. First, some argue that it's just a myth. Others argue that it was actually a hoax perpetrated by Jesus' followers. Now, I suppose we have to, in those questions, ask, what is reasonable? What fits the evidence? Well, what about this idea that the whole thing is just a myth? A blown up fairy tale that exaggerates all the facts, which means that Jesus' death and resurrection is mythical and not historically true. Well, if you look at the account of Mark that we read out earlier, we see, I suppose, a very matter-of-fact account. It's not prone to unrealistic hyperbole or unnecessary exaggeration. The narrative sounds like a writer is trying to communicate what actually happened, warts and all. The accounts in Mark and the other eyewitness accounts are plain and simple, not really containing any mythical element. But even if you don't believe that it couldn't be mythical, then think about this. When the eyewitness accounts were written, many of the people that had seen them were still around at the time of Jesus' death. The people who had experienced Jesus' death and resurrection were still alive. Now, if these accounts were in any way over the top, full of myth and allegory, then people wouldn't have trusted them, would they? They would have said, well, that's not true, that's not what happened. But I suppose let's say we boil it all down to this one issue, the resurrection. And for many people, this just couldn't happen. They fall in the line of some great thinkers and say things like, dead people don't come back to life, so Jesus couldn't have done so. Well, what are the alternative explanations then? Well, if not a myth then, it suggested maybe in their grief, the followers of Jesus had a mass hallucination event. They all thought they saw Jesus. Maybe they all banged themselves on the head when they went into the tomb and dreamt it all. Now, that would be maybe tenable, I suppose, if it was one, maybe two people had a similar experience. But the accounts state in the New Testament that Jesus, once he had come back to life, appeared to numbers of people, and they all saw him. Now, is it really plausible that a large number of people would share the same dream or hallucination at the same time? And of course, these people were not crackpots. They weren't the unstable of mind, the sort of folk that should have been locked away. No, they were the fishermen. They were the tax collectors. They were ordinary folk, ordinary run-of-the-mill people. These are the sorts that would not be prone to over-exaggerate or be taken in. Well, if, however, you don't buy into this whole idea that they were hallucinating, then where you get to is that the disciples just made it up. They just told a bunch of lies. That it's just all an elaborate hoax. I hope you can see how unreasonable that sounds. Jesus' followers were those who didn't really understand what was happening. They weren't standing beside the cross looking smug, going to their friends and their mates, just you wait, just you wait. In a few days' time, you'll see. You'll see what's going to happen. You might be dying there today, but in a few days' time, you just wait and see. No, they were upset. They cried. They didn't understand why Jesus had to die. They were not sitting outside the tomb waiting for the glorious resurrection. So why would they have made this story up if they were not expecting it and things to their mind weren't going to plan? And if they had made it up, would they have made up the story we have preserved for us in the eyewitness accounts? I don't think so. For example, in Mark, we saw that the first people to see the empty tomb and be told of Jesus' resurrection were women. And that might not seem odd to you at all, but in the culture that Mark's gospel was written in, which these women lived, This would have been terribly embarrassing, as women were not believed to be reliable people, particularly in court. In their legal system, women were not allowed to act as witnesses. That's how unreliable they were seen to be. But that is who first sees Jesus, and that is who we are told first sees the resurrected, first evidence of the resurrection, the empty tomb. The problem, however, I suppose, is that the best way to dispel something that is not true, such as a legend or a myth, is to show that it's false. And for the first century authorities, both Jew and Roman, the easiest thing to do would have been to point to Jesus' tomb and show that it had not been opened, that the large stone guarding the tomb was still there. Or they could, I suppose, rather morbidly, they could have paraded the body. They could have paraded the dead and rotting corpse for all to see, so that people would not believe that Jesus had rose from the dead. But that never happened. And if it had, then we would all know about it, wouldn't we? But the problem was, and is today, for those who deny the resurrection, is that the tomb was empty. That it was empty. So the next approach, often taken sometimes in response to the knowledge and realization that the story is not a myth or a legend, is the reason that the tomb is empty, is that the disciples stole the body away, then made up the whole story. It's a hoax. Indeed, that was tried by the chief priests in Jerusalem at the time. Now, as we've touched on this already, the disciples didn't expect Jesus to come back to life. They just didn't really get it. They were distraught. They were defeated. Would they really have thought to do this? You know, to steal a body out of the tomb? And would they have been able to do so either? One of the accounts, we see that the tomb was guarded by Roman guards. They've had to get through the Roman guards that had been sent to stop them by the Jewish authorities. How could a bunch of poor working men, distraught, fearful, ashamed of their cowardice, overcome a bunch of Roman guards? Is that reasonable? So where do we get to then? What is the reasonable ending to this all? Can we say that it's unreasonable that Jesus came back to life? Having looked at the eyewitness accounts, can we honestly say that we believe that Jesus' resurrection was a story made up by his followers? Can we reasonably say that this body was stolen by his followers? Well, the conclusion, I think, is that either the early Christians made up the story, or they stole Jesus' body and then lied about it. And what do you think you would do if either of those options were true? Would you give the rest of your life to promoting the story that you'd made up? Would you promote it and tell others about it in public and face the mockery and pressure that came with? Would you do it under severe persecution amidst the possibility of death? Well, if I had created a lie or made up such a story, I wouldn't behave like that. But that is exactly how the followers of Jesus behaved. Very few of them died in old age, with quite a few dying extremely painful deaths for following Jesus. Opposition was commonplace for the followers of Jesus back then, as it is in parts of the world today. Well, if Jesus died and he rose again, what does that then mean for us? Well, I would suggest to you that it makes all the difference in the world. If Jesus died and rose again, we have to take Jesus seriously. We have to know who he was, or who he is rather, what he taught, what his followers taught after him. We can't just say, well, you know, he rose from the dead, big deal. I'm not that interested. I'll just dismiss him. No, we can't be dismissive. But going that bit further, if we do take Jesus seriously, if we do listen to what was taught, then Jesus' resurrection and death take on huge significance. For in his death, we're told by the Bible, Jesus bore the punishment for sin. Now, sin, if you don't really use that word that often, is a technical word referring to our rejection of God, our lack of interest in him, and our belief that we are better masters of our own destiny than God is. We are rebellious by nature, and it works itself out in the way we live. Because of this, we stand under God's judgment. But because of Jesus' death on the cross, our sins have been taken by him. He took the punishment that we deserve so that we could be forgiven of our sins. And because he has done this, we can be reconciled to God. We can be adopted into his family. We can know God. In his resurrection, we know that Jesus' bearing of our sin is complete. He has completed the work he came to do. But not only that, we can have confidence that we too will one day be raised to new life, like he was raised to new life, and that we will spend eternity with him. The resurrection brings great hope and great joy of better things to come beyond the grave. So did Jesus die and rise again? Mark in his gospel thinks so. Christian people believe that he did, and that in his death and resurrection we find our hope and our joy. But the question, of course, is not really for us. The question is for you if you're not a Christian. If you're convinced that Jesus died and rose again, then his claims and the Bible's claims about the possibility of redemption and forgiveness are true. If you turn from your sin and seek to trust in him, then your sin can be forgiven. You can look forward to far better things in the future. But will you do this? Will you continue your rejection of God? Will you keep heading towards the judgment that is coming, that you must surely face without the forgiveness that Christ offers? Or will you turn and trust in him and find his abundant forgiveness and the joy of new life and the hope of eternity with him? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in the good news that Jesus rose again. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. A cause for hallelujahs amongst your people. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for those who are watching who are not yet Christian people. We pray that you would help them consider the claims of your word regarding Christ. And that as they consider them and they consider the alternative arguments for the resurrection, that you would help them to see that the resurrection is true, that it is reality, and that would then force them to reconsider Christ, that they would reconsider him, and that they would come to know him as their Saviour and Lord. Help all of us, Heavenly Father, whether we are Christians or not, to come to a greater joy in Christ and the resurrection this day. Amen.